The Logical Anarchy Show.
This is the Logical Anarchy Show, episode 4. I'm one of your hosts, John, and I'm here with Joe, and we're going to talk about some interesting things, I think, today, right, Joe?
Yeah, a lot happened in a week's time, didn't it? It's funny because sometimes when we ended last week's episode, you know, me and John will stay on the line for a minute, like, hey, what do you want to do next week? Well, this one just came to our lap, so.
Yeah, definitely something that I think we both wanted to talk about, which is the situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and regarding specifically Kyle Rittenhouse and the BLM protests and all that kind of stuff. So I guess before we get into that, I just want to make a note, too, that we are if you want to support the show, we have a Subscribestar page set up. You can find a link to that on our website, logicalanarchy.com. Helps us pay for things like the hosting of the podcast. And Joe and I are currently using Podbean and we're running out of the free space, so we'll have to pay eventually. So if you guys want to support that, super helpful to us and keeps the show going, lights on, all that good stuff. But I don't know where to begin with this, Joe. Where do we begin with talking about this? Like, there's so many points we could start at.
Well, let's just do a general rundown of what happened, and then we can talk maybe about our views about it and the mainstream's reaction to it. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack, but maybe we should just talk about kind of the chain of events and kind of what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
in Kenosha,
even the chain of, well, I guess, yeah, we got to start with what set all this off, I guess, too, and I guess we could talk a little bit about that. A gentleman by the name of Jacob Blake was shot in the back 7 times by police trying to get back into his car. This he survived. As far as I know, he's still alive, but he's paralyzed from the waist down. And this has triggered massive protests and rioting in the city. And this leads to, I think, Kyle Rittenhouse appearing on the scene with a group of militia-type individuals, protecting property, and earlier in the day he was cleaning graffiti and stuff like that. And this led to Kyle being accosted by the mob and shooting 3 rioters or quote-unquote peaceful protesters, and killing 2, injuring 1. And we'll talk about, I guess, specific details, but yeah, it's crazy. And there's video out there. I have links to all this stuff, so it'll be on the show notes page on, I think, logicalanarchy.com. There's a lot of good, like, Twitter threads and stuff like that where people are breaking down kind of a play-by-play of what happened that night. But, yeah, this is nuts. This is crazy.
Yeah, and this is, like, one of those moments for me that it really shows you where people fall and what they think is right. So this is kind of an important one for me because you can see who can have logical thoughts and follow through with those and who just has no idea. the other people have no idea how to explain their views or the inconsistencies. It just really, if you fall on one side of this, it's just obvious to me who the sane people are and who the insane people are.
Yeah. And I see a lot of, like, it's weird, like, it's even split within libertarians. You know, you see a lot of libertarians, for instance, saying things like, he's 17 and he shouldn't, because Kyle Rittenhouse is 17 years old, he shouldn't have a gun. And there's people talking about Jacob Blake and he shouldn't have been shot in the back 7 times. And there's so many, like, factors in all of this. It's just a perfect example of, from the Jacob Blake situation to the Kyle Rittenhouse one, of just a lot of different people, parties on all sides, making really poor choices, and how the state, in my opinion, amplifies these poor choices. I don't know where to begin with this. First of all, I think the writing, and I did, when I had to do the episode by myself, I did an episode on BLM and, should libertarians be there? And I'm of the mind that, like, you know, unless you're defending your property, you probably shouldn't be at these protests. I don't think BLM as a movement and as an organization is a good thing. And that's not to say that I don't think Black Lives Matter. It's just that, like, I will refer back to Tom Woods talking about the situation regarding BLM, where if you're organizing a protest or a demonstration and violence is constantly erupting at these things, you'd want to do everything in your power to distance yourself from it and to kind of say, like, no, this isn't our message. And they're honestly not doing that. They're defending it. And so as a libertarian, like, yes, you maybe want, or an ANCAP, you want police accountability or you want police abolished. I'm with you 100% on that. But this probably isn't the place for libertarians to be, unless you are, I think, specifically protecting your own property or the property of someone you know, or you're asked to be there.
Right. Yeah, it's shocking they don't dissociate themselves with all the violence. And that's where I get frustrated. I get a lot of arguments on Facebook. And basically, you know, nobody cares that these people are there causing property damage, destruction. But all of a sudden, if somebody chooses to defend that, you know, he's made out to be the bad guy. And it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, you're seeing arguments like he came from out of state, which it's only about a 20-30 minute drive. He worked in Kenosha because he's from Antioch, Illinois, Kyle Rittenhouse. And so it's like, okay, you're going to say he shouldn't have been there. He was there for blood. He was there to cause violence. But what about the protesters? Do you think all those protesters are from Kenosha? Like, they're probably bussed in from someplace else, you know?
Right. And maybe I'm sure some are from the area. But, yeah, it's fine that they're causing all this destruction. And people are perfectly fine with that, which is very disturbing and very revealing. And also, when people talk about, like, what you're saying, oh, they're saying he's from a different area, he doesn't live there. Well, he works there. He's still part of this. He's still an extension of this community if he works there. Mm-hmm. He's still part of this community. So to say he's not, he shouldn't be there, you know, I do think there's an argument to be made. Like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to be there. I'd probably rather be home protecting my property. But I still think, yeah, if you're going to say that he shouldn't have been there, then you have to say the protesters shouldn't have been there too. If mm-hmm. you want to go down that path, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and they want to say he's there for blood, and it's like, well, this kid was there with a med kit. I've heard that the rifle wasn't even his, so we have to specify that Rittenhouse is 17 years old, and the law is 18, I believe, in Wisconsin to open carry. And so he's underage, so that's probably the only, I think, real charge they can get him on legally. But obviously, you and me being ANCAPs and stuff like that, we view all gun laws as idiotic and stupid. So I have issues with that law itself. Right. But he was there he was cleaning up graffiti on property. He was protecting property. There's video of him providing medical aid to even protesters that had been injured by police. And he did an interview, a couple interviews with lots of different people talking about why he was there. And whatnot. So I find this idea that he was there to hurt people to be completely, like, it's just a straight up lie. You're not in his mind, so you don't know why he was there. And I think his actions up until the first man was shot that was chasing him shows that he wasn't there with the intention of hurting people. You don't show up to clean graffiti with a med kit and help your ideological opponents that are injured by police if you're there to hurt them. You know what I mean? That you're the worst racist and violent thug imaginable if you're doing all that prior to defending yourself or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of these people are offended just by the sight of a gun. You know, they're so far gone that even the sight of it is like an aggression against them. While, you know, like you said, he went there basically to protect, not to hurt the situation. He didn't go there with violent intentions, and it's pretty obvious. The mob did. They had violent intentions. There's clear examples of it, clear examples of property being destroyed. You know, there's fires everywhere. There's that funny screenshot of the newscaster, mostly peaceful protests, and the town's literally on fire behind them.
Yeah,
the tagline
underneath says something like "fiery but mostly peaceful."
Mostly peaceful.
It's like,
and it's just absolutely ridiculous. So this is why it's super revealing, because you get to see the people that respond and think that, you know, they will just not acknowledge any of that damage. Or they'll come up with other gymnastics and say, "Well, it's just property. You know, it's not a life. It's just property. So what's the big deal?"
Well, these people clearly don't own property. They've never worked for something in their entire life, because, you know, you're working to own something. Let's say you own a business or a restaurant or something like that. Like, maybe you own the building, maybe you rent, but you put money into this business, and someone comes along and burns it down, and they're burning down money that was earned through labor that you had put in, which means that, like, your life has been put into this business, and now it's ashes. And that's horrendous. And then to justify that by saying, "Oh, it's just property," it's like, I'm sorry. And this is me speaking personally. Like, I do everything within my power to filter everything through the non-aggression principle and to adhere to that as best as I can. But, like, these people really put me to the test in regards to that principle sometimes, you know, and that's just me speaking candidly about myself, but it's really difficult.
Yeah. And John, what do you say to the, you know, you get a lot of rebuttals and arguments that go like this. People will say, well, they're going to get, you know, the insurance will pay them out. So, you know, what's the big deal? They're going to get insurance money, so, you know, it'll get replaced. So why are you making such a big deal about this?
Well, I think one thing that these people aren't considering, and it shows that, again, they've never owned property, they've never owned a business, is maybe rioting or damage like that isn't covered under their insurance. You know, there's plans where that's not covered. Maybe the premiums will be so high because of the damage and what happened that it's going to ruin them financially, and they're not going to be able to recover after this. So this idea that, like, they have insurance. Well, and let's also talk about, like, since this is becoming a more common occurrence, insurance rates are going to go up, especially in these hot spots where it's occurring. So, like, are they going to even be able to afford insurance anymore after this? And are they going to rebuild and then just get burned down again because of these filthy communists? So,
well, and they'll never get here. I think another point too is that they'll never get that time back. So you can say what you want, and it's like, oh yeah, maybe let's say it's a situation that they get paid out and they get reimbursed financially, but they still had to go through the experience. They're never going to get that time back. There might be things that are irreplaceable, and it's such a shame that these people can't even look at it honestly. And this is why it's an important issue, and you get to see who falls on the side of property rights and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And you cannot have a functioning society without property rights. This is one of the most basic things that we all need to understand and agree on.
Yeah. And, you know, what's funny, a funny thing too, is just as a little side note from all this is, you know, you and I are anarchists. And so people tell us, like, oh, without government, there'd be violence in the street. And I'm just like, look, there's a government right now and there's violence in the street. And actually the police are pulling back. Like, the one job that you thin blue liners and police supporters say is, like, they're supposed to be there to protect life and property, and they're not doing that. They pull back and they leave these residents with the mob, and what do they expect is going to happen? The choices these people have is to watch their lives burn down into ashes, or to fight back and use violence themselves to protect themselves from the violence. And the police don't go in and protect property. They go in and arrest people for defending themselves, and it's like, what did you expect to happen? I don't know what these people expected to happen.
I mean, if you're going to aggress and if you're going to be violent, and not to mention, does this really help Jacob Blake? Or does this help any of these other instances going on in the country? Does all this destruction, or does it distract? You know, I think it distracts, distorts. I think it does not help the situation. And so, yeah, you're gonna create a void, and this is what's going to happen. People are going to be pressed to defend themselves and do what they need to do. This is a natural occurrence of what's going on. This is what, I mean, what do they expect to happen?
Yeah, I mean, 40% of all the guns in the entire world are in the private hands of American citizens. 40% of all the guns in the world, that's including military, police, all around the world, the majority of guns almost in the whole entire world exist in the hands of Americans. And then you have these rioters and looters and BLM and Antifa types running around smashing stuff, and they think they're going to be able to do this without consequence eventually? No, you're going to get shot. This is the worst country to attempt this in. You're absolutely stupid if you think you're going to survive this. This is going to become a common occurrence, because honestly, I'm fed up with it, and I know a lot of people are fed up with these people rampaging through the streets, destroying property and attacking people's livelihoods and actual lives. This is just, and the police again are doing nothing to stop this. So of course they're just gonna start shooting these people. And I have no sympathy for these quote unquote victims who get the natural outworkings of their actions done upon them, for them reaping what they've sown. This is what you get, you know.
and the crazy thing is, I think what they don't realize, or well, maybe some of them do, but the people that are so mad at Kyle Rittenhouse and all the scrutiny, I mean, basically what they're saying is that we just have to take it, or that these communities, you know, that are getting destroyed, basically have to take it and be happy about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the only acceptable outcome they see. And if you don't agree with that, then I mean, that's basically what they're saying.
Well, let's dissect that train of thought. That train of thought, that logic, is no different than the right conservative side regarding police. Their thing is just comply with police and you won't die. You know, just do what they say and deal with it later and like it. This is part of society. Deal with it. This is exactly what. This is the same logic that the left's using, but they're applying it to rioters. Like, well, you know, this is what it is. They don't have a voice. They just, you know, it's both sides making excuses for thuggery. And there's, I'm sick of it personally. I'm honestly tired of, I'm so tired of hearing both of these sides that think they're different. They're different only in who they're making excuses for. That's
right,
it.
Right. Who are they making excuse for aggressing violence? That is, I agree with you 100%. That's what it comes down to. And it's amazing. You know, I kind of wanted to, what do you think about dissecting the actual actions? I know you've probably watched some of the videos, and I do want to preface this by saying, you know, a new video could come out and have new relevant information that changes things, but I don't really see that happening. And I see the way that the actions went down from different video angles and different witnesses. I just, there's only one way to really look at this, I think.
Yeah, so I think it's important to note. So Kyle was there with a group of militia-type guys. They were, I think, at a gas station or a car dealership. I think it was a car dealership. And they were just protecting it because I believe that owner's business was already burned down and attacked. And he's like, I need help. Can someone come and protect this business? And Kyle was there because I believe I heard that he's a lifeguard in Kenosha. That's where he worked. So he was there during the day to after work to clean up some graffiti. And then he got the call from a friend that, hey, this business needs help. Let's go help them. So they went that evening. With guns and med kits and all kinds of stuff to take care of this business and protect it and keep it from getting looted again a second time. And during this, the mob shows up, and you can see the first victim, Joseph Rosenbaum, appear there, and he's extremely belligerent and violent towards these militia guys. And he's extremely violent because I heard that they are apparently pushing a flaming dumpster down the street towards the car dealership, and the militia guys put it out with a fire extinguisher and stopped it. And this obviously made Mr. Rosenbaum very upset for having them put out his thuggery. So he shows up and he's in their faces and he's saying, I'm not going to say it on the show here, but right. Shoot me, N-word. Shoot me, N-word. And he's, you know, he's literally asking for it. And this is the guy that later has his t-shirt wrapped around his head as a mask, and he's chasing Kyle. And another thing to note too is if you watch the video, you can see him throw something. We don't know what it is. People are saying it's a Molotov, but it doesn't appear to be that's what it was.
No, it looked like a bag with some weight to it. you know. Yeah. And it's funny because I did see one thing that was typed up that said, "Oh, he just threw a plastic bag," but the way it flies through the air, it has some substantial weight to it. I don't know exactly what it was, but yeah, some sort of bag with a object that had weight in it.
Yeah, so he's throwing this at Kyle, and actually, if you watch the video, you can see a handgun go off. On the left side of the screen, you can see the muzzle flash. So Kyle is the 17-year-old kid. He's separated from his group because, again, we have to note that police, he left his group for some reason and then tried to go back, and the police wouldn't let him go back. And so he's stuck by himself behind enemy lines. Rosenbaum sees him, charges him. He hears gunfire going off. And
Kyle did not, from the videos and the audio files, you can see that Kyle was not the first person to shoot.
Mm-mm. So someone else is shooting guns either at him or in the air or something. There was a reporter on the scene, I think for the Daily Caller or something like that, who was actually... He was a witness.
Yeah, he's a witness, yeah.
And they wrote an article about it. Rosenbaum was apparently reaching for Kyle's rifle, trying to get it away from him. And I think actually they say he got his hand on the rifle, and that's when Kyle fired his firearm. So he reached twice for the gun. I'm sorry, for me, if I'm holding a gun and you violently reach for it just one time, I'm ending you. Kyle let this happen twice. He showed more restraint than I would have in that situation.
A lot of discipline.
Yeah, so he this guy reaches for it twice, chasing him. So then Kyle pops off, domes the guy. And then we find out that this Rosenbaum guy has a rap sheet like a mile long. He's a pedophile, first of all. And I've heard people say, like, oh, well, it was when he was 18 and his girlfriend was 16. And I'm sorry, you don't get 10 years in prison for that occurrence. I believe he got sentenced to 10 years for this, and that means that he had... sex with someone 12 years or younger when he was at least 18. So that's pretty disgusting. So I think the world...
Yeah, I'm...
I don't want to, like, speak ill of the dead, but honestly, the world's probably a better place without this guy in it.
Yeah, I mean, we can go down that route, but it's still... It's irrelevant, you know? I mean, it was defense. That's what it comes down to. I mean, that's kind of like a bonus. I see that as a bonus.
For sure.
But it doesn't affect the fact of the situation and what Kyle was basically forced to do.
Yeah, you don't, like... What are you doing reaching for the business end of someone's rifle who's trying to run away from you? They're clearly trying to get away from you. They're like, I don't want to deal with you. Leave me alone. And you're constantly reaching for the rifle end of the business end of the rifle. I'm sorry, you're going to get domed. That's what happens.
It shows the intelligence of a lot of these people. I mean, that was my very initial, before I knew any facts or knew anything about it, my gut reaction was, how stupid are you to try to assault somebody with a gun?
Yeah.
I just, and he's not, the crazy thing is the narrative on this. You know, he's not going around shooting people. It's there as a protection. It's there because he's dealing with irrational people who are destroying communities. I mean,
yeah.
So it's the narrative, you know, they'd have you believe that this white kid is a racist. He went there, you know, and I do want to mention, I don't agree with probably a lot of his political views. He's a thin blue liner, you know, hardcore police supporter. But even still, that doesn't change my opinion that he has a right to self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing that the picture is painted that, yeah, this white guy went around this community shooting people. You know, it just automatically the narrative came out just like that.
Yeah, and so then after this, so someone who's out there to kill people also doesn't pull out their phone and call police and say, I just killed someone. You know, because that's what he did right after he domes Rosenbaum. He stands there.
He doesn't try and flee the scene.
He's on his phone and he's talking to someone saying, I just killed someone. But then you hear the mob say, get that, I think, mother effer or whatever. You know, and so then he's like, all right, I need to run because now these people are going, I have a mob after me now. So Kyle runs away. And that's when he's not very fast. He's not a very fast kid. So he's running, people are running after him, trying to punch him in the back of the head. He eventually trips, falls, and then that's where things really start to get bad for Kyle, but eventually even worse for the people attacking him. So
yeah.
at that point, he's on the ground, and there's this other guy that tries to jump kick him in the head, and then skateboard guy comes and tries to hit him over the head with a skateboard. Kyle shoots him in the chest, killing him. And then this guy with a paramedic hat comes up. He even feigns, like, he puts his hands up, like, oh, no, I'm just not here. And then he reaches for a gun himself and starts to bring it around to bring it on to Kyle. Kyle blasts him and turns his bicep into pink mist, and that guy falls away. And so the guy that got shot in the bicep is the only one that survives, and it's ironic. He says his only regret is that he didn't mag dump into this kid when he had the chance. Like, this is insanity.
Like, he doesn't understand that he's contributing. Like, that is where I get so frustrated, and this is a point I've made in a couple arguments I've had over this, but actions have consequences. I mean, this is what, if this is what you're looking for, you know, this Kyle was not going to shoot somebody that was not aggressing against him.
It's, and he actually obvious. Didn't. The only people he shot were people that were being violent towards him.
It's right. It's very obvious that I mean, these people were in active pursuit of him, actively trying to do him harm. So this is a concept that the left has a real hard time with. And I think maybe a lot of these kids were raised poorly. They're probably, you know, maybe these are the kids that always got what they wanted. They weren't told no. I don't know. But for some reason, there's a disconnect in their head, and they don't understand consequences. And these are consequences.
And the funny thing, too, about the guy that pulls the gun on Kyle Rittenhouse is that his name, I forget his name, Gage Grosswitz or something like that. He was a – I'm probably saying his name wrong. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. But he has a felony for burglary. From when he was 19. And so it's like, this is a felon with a gun who's sad that he didn't get to mag dump into a kid. And the left, the media, are protecting these people, saying they're heroes and whatnot. Skateboard guy, like, clearly runs up with a skateboard to try and take out a guy with a gun who's trying to run away. And that's an important thing that I think will be in Kyle's favor, is that he's running away. The moment you are running away, you are no longer a threat. And if you're chasing someone down, you're no longer self-defense. Even if Kyle was the initial aggressor, let's say for the sake of argument, he just straight up murdered the first guy. Just raises his rifle, blows that guy in the head, blows his head off. Like, but now he realizes he's running away. He's no longer a threat. So from a legal standpoint, he's now on the defense. Colin Noir has a really fan. I'll link to it in the show notes page. Colin Noir has a great video about this, because he's a lawyer himself. But he's running away towards the police to turn himself in. You chasing him down and trying to kill him or incapacitate him is now you're the aggressor now. Even if the first murder wasn't, or the first killing wasn't justified, it was murder. You're still in the wrong for these other two guys.
Right. And like you said, I mean, he's clearly trying to distance himself from the people. So that's another hard thing I don't understand. The people that don't see this as clear self-defense, I mean, how do you get past that? The fact that he's trying to distance himself, he's trying to get away from these people. He's not going around shooting people. He's literally trying to get away from them. So I, you know, if you can't come to terms with that, or if you see that differently, I'm never going to agree with this person. These people have no logical consistency.
No. And it's crazy, the lies that are out there. Like, I have people on my friends list. This one person posted a link to when he was charged with first degree murder, which is absolutely ridiculous. You're saying he went in with premeditation to kill people when you give someone first degree murder, which is obviously not going to stick. But they're saying, like, oh, he's been charged. This is the first step towards justice. And I'm like, you know, the video is out there. Have you watched it? Like, you can watch. There's the evidence. It just boggles my mind how the media and these lemmings, these NPCs, just refuse to, like, face reality. And they think that they can construct reality to fit their narrative. And it's, like, obvious that you're lying. You're either an idiot or you're lying. And neither of those things are good. You're too lazy to actually just go out and look at the truth. Like, you read a headline, like, and that's good enough for you to feel like you have a grasp on the situation and you can argue your quote-unquote opinion. I'm sorry, your opinion's trash, and I'm going to make fun of you for and refute you for professing your really trash opinion on the situation.
Have an original thought. It's so obvious when you argue with someone that just repeats the CNN talking points. I mean, yeah, when they respond in a certain way, I realize, oh, you haven't watched the video. You have no idea what you're talking about. And I've had people actually thank me for sharing some of these videos about it because they said, I had no idea. I just watched the news and they're giving a completely different story. So you can look up these videos for yourself. Like John said, he'll link because it's pretty clear.
Yeah, there's like it's an open and shut case of self-defense. And I think this is the beauty of everyone having a cell phone and stuff like that. And it's out there now. Like the media is so far behind. I think the mainstream media is so far behind. I think what the capabilities of technology and the internet are, and they still don't understand it. So maybe if this was like 20 years ago, 25 years ago when this happened, their lies would be accepted as truth. But we didn't have all a little camera phone on our person back then, so we would just have to take what the media is reporting at face value. Whereas like now, it's so bizarre to me for like CNN made a post or an article praising the skateboard guy saying, oh, he was a hero trying to save people and stuff like that. And it's like, you can watch the video and see that this guy is assaulting someone, assaulting a 17-year-old kid trying to flee to the police line to turn himself in. I don't see how I don't see how you can write this article in good faith without any malicious intent, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think the sick thing is a lot of them come from the viewpoint that they I'm sure they thought they were some hero fighting like some white supremacist or white Nazi. I mean, that I honestly think they think that in their head because it comes down to, well, he's a white guy with a gun, you know, he supports the police, this guy, you know, they look down on him like he's just, they assume, I'm sure there's an assumption that, well, he's white, he's probably racist, you know, especially with the way the mainstream media paints any gun owner today. Oh, he must just be some white extremist, some racist.
Yeah, we're so divided. Like, gun culture is so taboo in the eyes of these people. It's non-existent as a it's not a legitimate aspect of society or culture to these people. So like you said earlier, like they just see someone holding a gun who isn't in a position of authority and they're like, "Oh my God, this is terrifying. This is aggression." Like all their mind immediately jumps to all these things and it's like, can you shut the hell up for 5 seconds? That's just an American citizen holding a gun. That's their birthright. That's everyone has the right to self-defense. Shut up.
On the other hand, they're so disconnected, John, because it's unbelievable that they would assault or that they would pick that guy as the guy to go after. So in one sense, yeah, I think they're offended by it, but they're so wrapped up in their ideas, they have no idea what their actions are going to cause. Just no understanding. Totally living in la-la land. Like, absolutely.
Yeah, like, you think you can rampage through a city destroying property and assaulting people, and that when people fight back, somehow you're the victim? Like, that's insanity. You're an insane person, if that's what you think.
We know you like the victim card, but you can't go all in on it all the time. I'm sorry. And it's not going to work that way.
And a side note, what does this do to actually get people to the table to talk about police accountability? Like, you and I are obviously of the mindset that we need to abolish the police entirely and have privatized protection. Even people on the left will disagree with that sentiment. So even getting people to the table to talk about police accountability is difficult. And to get them to that table to legitimately talk about it. And I'm so pissed, and I mentioned this in episode 2, I'm so pissed that when George Floyd was killed, we had this opportunity to bring people to the table from the left and the right. Because even I saw conservatives, and there was YouTubers that are like that run gun channels and stuff like that that are like pro police, you know. And even they were responding to this video and saying like, "Yeah, this is bad. We need to talk about police." And then a few days later, when people started rioting, they're like, nope, well, we need police, back the blue. And it's like, you just, these people for a split second were willing to talk about this thing that you want, and all you did was entrench them in the beliefs that, that they have, that you hate. You got them entrenched in it even further, you know? So
yeah, and it is unfortunate. It's causing a bigger divide, I think, that to your point. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Like this conversation, there was a split moment in time where we could sit and we could talk about how police need to be accountable to their actions. We need to end qualified immunity. We need to do all these things. And, you know, there were people on the right that generally support police no matter what, that saw this and were like, this is indefensible. Yeah, we need to talk about this. And I don't understand. These people on the left have, they're just stupid. They're just stupid, stupid people. And I can only assume that they're disingenuous in this, because if they actually cared about this, they wouldn't act the way they're acting. This is all just a pretext to push Marxism and communism and all these sorts of things further into society. It's accept this Marxism and like it or else. That's what it's become.
they're like a child that doesn't get their way, kicking and screaming, because like you said, there was an opportunity to have a real conversation. There was an opportunity to possibly meet in the middle on a lot of things, but they're like a child kicking and screaming, not getting their way, and destroying everything in their path. I mean, to meet in the middle doesn't mean going around destroying private property. Probably these business owners would agree with some of the issues, you know, probably upset by some of these police killings, and somehow they're getting punished.
Yep.
And it's completely unrelated, completely unrelated. So you can't go around destroying things and not expecting this to happen. You know, one point I've made is, or that I want to make on the show is, you know, I would gladly take one of these kids. you know, if I had a mob coming through my community like that, I'll take an army of these 17-year-olds.
Yep.
Gladly, because they are the ones protecting people. They are not the instigators. They are not the ones causing damage. As far as I'm concerned, they're a cause for good. So I'll gladly take them if some mob ever comes through our community. That would be I would see that as a friendly move.
And I've seen
an ally.
I've seen a lot of knowledgeable people on guns, on, for instance, small unit tactics, working as a group in a combative situation, talk about like a lot of mistakes that Kyle made. And he made mistakes for sure. And it's questionable, really. I mean, should a 17 year old be there? Probably not, but he was, and that is what it is. So we can't change that. But, from my perspective, if a kid was, or if a communist mob, and I've made this point to people, if a communist mob was running through my neighborhood, burning houses and businesses down and assaulting people, I have a 6-month-old daughter and a wife. If a 17-year-old kid with a rifle showed up on my door and he was from the next city over or the next state over even, I don't care. And he says, I'm here to help protect you and your family. And I'd be like, thank you. Please stay, help. My response wouldn't be, go away, kid. You're just here for blood. You don't live here. You're not part of this community. Go away. Let me defend my family by myself. No, I'm going to be like, yeah, let's rack around and dig in and be prepared for the worst. Cause I'm not going to turn that help away. So the only thing I can conclude, that people that say these things are people that, for one, have never experienced violence, or they think that violence is only bad when it happens to them, and that violence is okay when they do it, which I think it's a combination of those two perspectives, obviously.
Well, and you know, you can criticize some of his actions, but ultimately it comes down to, he only shot his aggressors, and these people were coming after him. So yeah, we can criticize little things here and there he did, but it just can't be reiterated enough that, you know, he didn't shoot any innocent bystanders. He had pretty good gun control and discipline. Multiple times his rifle was reached for, and yet still, and he's running away, and in his flight he only shot his attackers. So that's just the way I see it. I'm sorry.
And let's compare this to Antifa, when they, or not Antifa, but like with these BLM protesters that use firearms. Do you remember? Because here's another side note. There's some people saying that the first guy that was shot had a killing wound in his back. So he's running towards Kyle, but the autopsy apparently says that there's a wound in his back, which means someone shot, probably on his side, shot him in the back.
Right, because we know there was a couple gunshots in that whole scenario, and they did not come from Kyle's direction.
Yeah, so these Antifa and BLM types end up shooting themselves. And do you remember a while back, it was like a month or two, maybe like a month ago, there was a guy that was driving a truck or a Jeep or something and on the freeway, and these BLM types are on the freeway blocking it because they're idiots and, you know, playing in traffic. No one ever told them that's a bad idea. But this guy wants to go through, and this protester whips out his revolver and I think fires three shots, misses the car entirely, and ends up shooting two or three other protesters and injuring them. And it's like, you guys are the worst. You're your own worst enemy. It's absolutely hilarious. How do you miss a car entirely and hit two or three other people that are on your side? Like, this is, it boggles my mind. It's just hilarious to me. I don't feel sorry for these people one bit, not one bit.
No, and you know, I feel bad. This kid's life's going to change. There's going to be a lot of hate coming his way. And I just can't help but think a lot of the hate will be coming from 30-year-old men or boys that live in their mom's basement and, you know, attack him online. It's just hilarious to me. You know, I see a kid who was cleaning up. He has a job right now. I just see two different kind of people. And I see that Kyle kid is growing up to be somebody that will stand for something. And I see all these leftist types to be little sissies who probably don't even have their lives together. Well, even besides that's why they're throwing fits. Even besides the whole issue, they probably have nothing in their life together, and they're just pathetic.
Well, and even like quote unquote libertarians that are condemning his actions. And it's like, can you shut up for 5 seconds? I thought we were people that were pro private property, pro self-defense. The non-aggression principle specifies that when force is used against you, you're allowed to use defensive force in kind. He had a mob of people. His life was in danger. It was threatened. He had the right, even under the non-aggression principle, to use deadly force in response to the violence that was being perpetrated against him. So I can only conclude that these quote-unquote libertarians that are condemning his actions are just not being objective. You know, I see them, for instance, like you said, looking to his, well, he's a bootlicker, he was a thin blue liner. I'm like, I know he's a bootlicker, but that doesn't factor into the situation that occurred. So right, you're not being objective, you're being emotional. And if you're being emotional, what difference does that make you from these commies over here that are hyper emotional? You're supposed to be principled and logical, and you're not being that. So just sit down and shut up, because you're making the rest of us look like idiots and inconsistent.
Yeah, it's unfortunate there's some libertarians taking that line. But yeah, this is an issue that you need to understand. This is a basic thing. And this is why I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of right-wingers that will agree with us and that we can have a conversation with that look at this situation honestly. So that's why I feel like a lot of times we've talked about it on the show, you know, we're hard on the right and we're hard on the left. But a lot of times I can talk to some people on the right because they can look at this situation and come away with the same take as me a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to agree with them on everything, but this comes down to defense. And this is important. This is something where I see where our allies are. This is a line that should not be crossed. This is a hill that I will die on. You know, this is a hill that this is an issue. This is one of the most important issues. This is why we see a lot of people, folks on the right, that will end up agreeing with us.
Yeah, and I mean, is it annoying that maybe like a Trump supporter is like likes a post that I make about this? Sure, I'm kind of like, ew, gross, that feels nasty, but I still think I'm right, and I'm glad that at least, though they maybe have a lot of cognitive dissonance, that they at least see this issue, and that's more than what the other side is doing, you know. And there's instances where the other side's right about certain things, and obviously we'll say like, hey, yeah, you're right about that, we can agree on this. But in this instance, the left is just bad, and they're the sole perpetrator of all the horrible things that are going on with this. And like I said earlier, I think we need to be prepared. This is going to be a common occurrence. There was already another shooting, I think last night, I think it was in Portland. Trump supporter was just gunned down just for wearing a hat, I think. So, yeah, I don't like Trump supporters. They're generally annoying people, but, you know, you can't. This is uncivilized. This isn't what we're supposed to be doing. And the only thing I can say is, like, people need to get in groups. They need to start practicing. I know ammo is expensive right now, and do dry firing. Just be ready to protect yourself. You know, this is not a good time we're living in right now. It's really scary. And I think by the time November rolls around, it's going to get really ugly. I think November has the potential, no matter who wins, to be bloody. Just prepare for the worst. Find a good group of people that you can train with and rely on and depend on, and don't let them leave your group. I think that was the mistake Kyle made, is that he left his group. If he hadn't left his group, we wouldn't even be talking about this. But don't get separated from the people that are with you. You're working as a team for a reason. And if Kyle can be condemned for one thing, it's leaving his group. And since he's a minor, the adult that he was with should feel honestly kind of bad for letting him get separated, in my opinion. You know, it is what it is, but just buckle down. It's going to get ugly. I think it's going to get worse before things start to get better, personally, as cynical as that sounds.
I know. I don't see a way forward, because of the way the divide is growing. I almost, you know, I hope to see some sort of secession, some sort of way for the country to resolve this divide, because that would be a peaceful way for this divide to be resolved. Is, you know, if say like California seceded, or you had some other states, you know, a lot of the coastal areas are very liberal. If we had some sort of splitting, I'd definitely want to move out of California for one, but I mean, I already do, so that doesn't matter. But I could see that as a logical way forward. I don't think we all need to be ruled from Washington, D.C. I mean, there's issues we just seem to not be able to resolve, as big as this nation is.
There's fundamental, like, ethical principles that the people of this country disagree on. And this, again, like you said, this in situation on self-defense, for instance, is a dividing line. There's people that say you don't have the right to defend yourself, and there's people that say you do. And that's a crucial thing. Like, if we can't agree on that, I don't see how we can agree on any other kind of public policy out there. It's just not possible. So I agree. I think secession would be the peaceful way to go. I think Abraham Lincoln sort of ruined that concept, obviously. So I don't even know how peaceful that could possibly be if states decided to secede. But it's worth trying, it's worth doing, and it would be better than living in this hell that we're living in now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course Lincoln's an issue, but there's plenty of examples in society, or in history. You know, we seceded from England successfully, and...
But that was that was also violent and bloody, though, too, so...
That's true. But I'm sure in the history of the world, there's plenty of examples of nations splitting. I mean, it's the way the world is right now is not how it's always been. Mm-hmm. And the countries that are here right now is not the way it's always been. So I'm sure there's plenty of examples. But yeah, this is an issue where and it's funny, John, the people that totally disagree with the right to self-defense, you know, because of that, then that leads to, you know, it's no wonder they turn a blind eye to all the violence going on. So you can't defend yourself, and they absolutely don't acknowledge all the damage being done by these crazy people.
Yeah, we're living in crazy times, and it's scary times. Like, having children, you and I both have children, it's like it's a scary world that we're raising our children in. I don't know if it worries you, but it worries me.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're trying to, you know, John, sorry to interrupt you, but one other thing I wanted to interject real quick was, you know, they're really trying to dig into this Kyle kid's past and say he was raised as an extremist. Well, you know, I'm going to be raising my kids to know how to defend themselves. They're not going to be some little victim that sits and complains and blames the world for all their problems. They're going to be fully capable of defending themselves. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that kid's background being raised around guns. And, you know, they're trying to paint him as some extremist monster. I can't believe it. When you have a society that disregards property and people this bad, there's going to be a lot of people that are raised this way and that want to be able to defend what's theirs. And you cannot be surprised by that.
Yeah, well, they say, like, he was raised as extremist, he brought a rifle, he was asking for it. And this is the same group of people that if a woman dresses provocatively and someone and gets maybe sexually assaulted and someone says, oh, well, that she was asking for it by the way she presented herself. It's like, these are the same people that get mad when someone says that. And I'm sorry, you're illogical and you make no sense. And if that's the case, I can disregard everything you're saying. Like, I've gotten to the point now, and we're getting towards the end of the episode here. I think we're going a little long, but it's okay. I'm getting to the point now where, like, I normally never used to block people, but I'm so sick of hearing the same stupid NPC lines over and over again regarding this situation and situations like it that I've just gotten to the point where I'm just block you. I don't have time to answer every single stupid accusation from some stupid leftist that I'm sorry, you're just being blocked. I don't have time. It's over.
It is getting to a point where it's a waste of energy. I sympathize with that, and I try to have fruitful conversations with people, but at some point it's impossible. And I sympathize with you, John.
I just don't have the patience or the energy for it, so I'm done. But
and one real quick point too, John. Just from having a gun there, you are saying what you are saying when you present a gun there and you're standing there, and you're not initiating any violence. What you are saying is that, yeah, I am not going to take this. If you act in a way that harms me, so if you don't see it as that. Is that being the situation, then you're going to have issues, because that's what the gun is saying. It's saying that if you are going to harm me or try and attack me, this is my, this will be your repercussion. And if you don't see it that way, you're going to have issues.
Yeah. You're an idiot if you're not reading it that way. You know, there's no other way to interpret that kind of situation or statement. That yes, like, I am capable of great violence. Look, I have a gun. I am capable of great violence. I don't want to do that violence, because if I did, I would do it already. But if you engage in violence, know that I am prepared to be better at that violence than you. So stop. And
yeah.
I think that's the message. This is going to, again, be a common occurrence. There's going to be more of these protesters killed, ran over, all these sorts of things, because people are sick of it. We're sick of you. You're not winning people to your side. No one wants to associate with you. We're just annoyed by you. We're frustrated by you. We're angry at you. Everyone hates your message. You're turning everyone against you. You're not, if you have a cause, part of the goal is to win hearts and minds to that cause. You're not doing it. You're making enemies. So
and I think it should be pointed out that it's unfortunate that it turned violent. We don't want violence. This is an unfortunate event, and it's going to affect this kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want this violence. This is a very unfortunate event. We don't like people getting killed, but the point is, these people need to stop attacking communities. These people are the ones causing this. This Kyle kid didn't go around trying to destroy a community. It's not on Kyle to stop this kind of, it's not on him to prevent all this unneeded damage. I mean, these are the people causing damage, not the kid.
Yeah. And, but again, they don't see it that way. So I just think that this division it's irreparable. That's why I think it's just going to get uglier. It's just going to get uglier and uglier. So,
and there's a lot of conservatives that are watching this from the sidelines. A lot of armed people, mm-hmm, that are watching this and seeing what's going on, and they're not you know, they may be quiet right now, but they're out there, and there's a large population of them.
Well, there's a lot of new gun owners that are just buying firearms now because they see what's going on. 40% of all the firearms that were purchased during this pandemic and this social unrest are new gun owners. So, and I think 40% of that 40% are women. So, I mean, like, people are getting fed up. They're getting fed up. And you're going to continue to get domed if you... and slotted, as they say, if you continue to behave this way. And honestly, again, I have no sympathy for you. You're getting what you deserve. So I have nothing more to say on this subject. I think we're at the end here, but do you have any ending thoughts, Joe?
No, I think you summed it up well. And yeah, I just hope that we see less violence in the future. But no, I have nothing else to add.
Yep. It's just unfortunate. Like, yeah, you said we don't want violence, but people are violent, apparently. I want to direct all you guys to our website, logicalanarchy.com. You can find episodes there. You can follow us on Twitter at anarchyecon, and we're on Facebook as well. Just search for Logical Anarchy. There's all these links to this stuff on our website. I want to thank you guys for listening, tuning in. We appreciate it. Again, check out Subscribestar as well. Support the show if you're able to. Helps us pay for hosting costs and things like that. But thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.